Alright, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Beat on location, sorta kinda. I'm, of course, Nick Baumgartner, along with Brendan Quinn. The show brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. I am in Saraland, Alabama, outside Mobile, for the lovely Senior Bowl. It's actually raining. Brendan's at the Ferndale location.
I'm at the Ferndale studio. What is Saraland famous for?
You know, I'm not sure. There's a Publix nearby, of course, which, you know, you can't be more than maybe a mile and a half away from a Publix in the Gulf Coast. No matter where you're standing, really. I think that anywhere you're at in this region, you're probably a mile and a half away from a Publix, mile and a half away from a Zaxby's, which is also, I got one across the street here. Raisin Cane's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this area is famous for its seafood, right? They got the battleship stationed down there in Mobile, but beyond that, that's the stuff that the locals would probably tell you. As a sports writer who used to live down here and traveled these roads, the Southeast is famous for its gas station food, its fast food, and the stuff that you could find, all the fried chicken and all that stuff that you could get. So that, I would say, is what this region is famous for. And it should be proud of that, because nobody else in the country has fast food like the Southeast, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah.
Per Wikipedia, population 13,000.
There you go.
Saraland, Alabama.
I mean, yeah, it's a suburb.
Its motto, Nick, is the gateway to progress. How about that?
Okay.
Are you seeing some of that progress down there? No?
Okay. Well, maybe. I don't know. I guess it depends on...
And now, when are you heading back?
So I will be on the tail end of Snowpocalypse, I hope. I head back Friday morning out of Pensacola down here. So hopefully I can get to Atlanta at least.
Yeah.
Is my
hope.
We're
going to be like...
So, doesn't sound...
We're going to be like ships in the night, bud.
Are you getting out?
Because I'm heading down to... I'm supposed to be. Heading down to Murray, Kentucky.
When? Wait, whoa, what?
Oh, yeah,
Hang
baby.
On.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there a couple times, in fact. Covered a couple games at that building, the Racers. What was that guy that played there? It was Isaiah, the kid who got drafted.
I covered him there once. The kid before Ja Morant was Isaiah.
Cannon, something like that? Really good. Right. He was a two-guard. I covered him once. So there you go. Well, yeah. I don't know if you're getting out, buddy. If you're flying out tomorrow, I got news for you. It's not started yet. So
it's currently 9:25 a.m. in Ferndale.
Nothing going on.
And we have a wet rain, an icy rain kind of coming down
That's
here.
That's really not good. Right now. So hopefully everyone has got their supplies. That is up north or anywhere else, as I think the storm is hitting most people somewhere in the country. So hopefully everyone is okay there. But Brendan and I have got some football coaching stuff to talk about today, my man. What do we got?
You think?
I think we finally are nearing an end to this, whatever you want to call it, at this point. But
so
I think
you don't want to get into Michigan State's win over Maryland and Michigan's win over Nebraska last
night.
A
very critical road win, it looked like, for Michigan State on the road. And then Michigan pulling a rabbit out of the hat, or a rabbit out of the fire, maybe, I guess? Almost blowing one at home to Nebraska? I don't know.
Yeah,
9 p.m.
Yeah,
game
sure.
before a snowstorm and a terrible... Who scheduled that one? Anyway, no, I don't want to talk about that. No one else does either.
No one wants
to. We've got football coaching stuff, of course. We can talk about Jim Harbaugh today and the Vikings. He will be, as all of you know by now, interviewing in Minnesota at some point today. I think he's already there. And... yeah, man. So yesterday was an interesting day, I would say. And this whole thing with Harbaugh has been, you know, building for some time, as we've all talked to you about. I mean, I think we had a podcast here, Brendan, maybe in December or early January where we talked about it. I said, this is a game of chicken. And I maintain that all the way through. And it's been that way all the way. And Harbaugh wants to be in the NFL. And he was looking for jobs, anyone that would take him. And now he's got an interview and we'll see what happens. And it's the expectation of most people here that if he gets an offer, he'll be gone. I'm curious, though, about the Brian Flores lawsuit that we saw yesterday and if that has any impact on any of this. Multiple reports, possible CYA reports coming out of God knows where, said this is not a done deal all of a sudden. I don't think it was a done deal anyway. I don't think it's ever been a done deal. I think he thinks he has a great shot at the job and is taking it if he gets it. I don't know if anybody else would agree with him all the way on that. I don't know. So... But point being is, you know, Minnesota had a candidate in there yesterday for 9 hours during an interview. Brian Flores is suing the NFL over, you know, unfair racial practices in their hiring. I don't know how all that's going to impact this at all, but it certainly seemed like that could be a problem for the Vikings and Mr. Harbaugh. I mean, I you're going to have to explain that away if you hire him, I would assume. Mm-hmm. They've had multiple candidates in for interviews, Raheem Morris and the Giants defensive coordinator, and mm-hmm. Kevin O'Connell, of course, from the Rams as well. Giants DC was in yesterday. So, like, it's another one of these examples. If you've decided you want to hire this guy and you bring all these other people in and you're trying to check these boxes that you're required to check, what is that? That's not a fair hiring practice. And so I don't know if that's going to be a factor into this either. I really don't. And that was something that came about yesterday, or came out, I don't know when the news dropped. I think we were on the field at the Senior Bowl. So
on the floor, as they?
Yeah. So I really don't know. I don't know if that's going to have an impact on all of this or not. And frankly, I think that he has to go there and convince them that they should hire him. I don't think he has the job sewn up. I think he thinks he does, because I think he thinks he better. Like, because if he comes back without an offer, buddy, it's going to get really weird here. So, is what it is. It's not, it shouldn't be surprising to anyone that's been paying attention. This has been what he has wanted for some time. He's wanted an NFL offer. He wants to be in the NFL. He does not want to be a college football coach anymore. I think that's been made abundantly clear. When we can talk about whatever there is to talk about in that whole scenario. But yeah, it's a complicated, long-winded situation that really isn't as complicated as it seems. It's a coach that doesn't want to be here anymore. And I don't know how else to say it.
I think that's been made abundantly clear.
Yeah.
So let's kind of hit reset here. So it is 9:30 a.m. Wednesday. All right. I'll do the Michael Barbaro.
Yeah.
In the East.
Yeah.
I'll do the Michael Barbaro setup.
Oh, nice.
Our colleague Michael Barbaro.
Oh, of course. Right. Official today. Official today. Yeah. We're coming for you, Netflix. Here we go.
Okay. So yesterday, Vikings were holding candidate interview, right?
Yes.
Today, Harbaugh is reportedly on the docket. We don't have any idea of when, or is it just an all-day affair?
I mean, usually these things go out. Like Patrick Graham, the Giants defensive coordinator, was, I think Chad Graff, our Vikings writer, said he was in for 9 hours yesterday. So, you know,
sure.
And, you know, separate. We talked to Aaron Glenn yesterday at the Senior Bowl, and he interviewed with Denver a couple weeks ago, and he's going to go interview with New Orleans, I think, today. And, you know, his experience, he'd set 7-8 hours, right? Whole day situation. So my guess is, if this is a full-on interview, he's getting the full thing. And, you know, this would be his first. He had a cursory phone conversation, or whatever that is, last weekend or whatever. But, you know, this would be the full, you go through the whole thing. You tell him what your vision is and everything else. And you have to answer questions on every single thing that they present to you, which I would assume Minnesota is going to rake him over the coals about. Can you be a leader? Can you function with younger players? Can you do all these things? Because we've seen things, man. You know, we've heard things. And so, again, I think he has a lot of questions he has to answer, but I think this is going to be the full deal interview.
So, in terms of the interview, I think it's worth noting that he's done this before. It's worth noting that he has success to build upon from this past season.
I think his winning percentage in the NFL would be, if he were to return, would be like the highest in the league.
That was the next point, highest is active? That he can point to,
or one of the
what
highest
he's already done in the league. And I think we all agree, right? Harbaugh's kind of a weird guy. All right. I don't think I'm stepping on the ledge or risking any slander with such a statement.
The breaking news button for that one, I don't think.
But Harbaugh also does strike me as a guy who can turn it on. Like, you know what I mean?
Maybe, yeah.
Like that he can.
I think he. You know, I think he used to
be able
to.
He's a football guy who can. He's a football guy who can talk to football guys.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what the inner management of the Vikings looks like, but I do feel like he's a guy who like can kind of bring people in who are like, man, Harbaugh, man, you know, that's,
yes,
Harbaugh's crazy in this like
he's
cool, fun way. Yeah. Like he's just got that thing, and I think he knows how to use it.
He does, and so, that's a great point, because it's the same thing. And the motivation for the Vikings in this, all I've heard is, the chief motivation is that they believe there's a possibility that he can come in and have the same type of immediate turnaround into a shit mess situation that he did with San Francisco. Can you come in here and shock the shit out of this place into a point that it, you know, we get better out of it, and then we worry about the aftershocks later? My counter to that, though, Brendan, is if you come into an NFL program in 2022 and try to shock the shit out of the place, I don't think it's going to be reacted to the same way as it was in 2011. That's my question. That was 11 years ago. We can't even. There are not enough podcasts to cover all the changes we have had as a society, let alone within the NFL football structure in those 11 years. Since he left in 14. What? It's 8 years. It is not the same league. The game is not the same. His methods have had to change and evolve, and that has had to mean for him here, as we've seen, hiring younger coaches who can relate to players because he struggles with it. So I don't know. And I think that that's the question that they're going to have to... Because I think that that's the motivation. They think that it's possible he can come in and, you know, will a team to a higher level of, you know, expectation, which is what he does. Like you said, he walks into a room, he puts this briefcase down, he sits down, he stares you dead in the eye, doesn't blink, and says, I'm going to win a Super Bowl for you.
Right.
I fucking dare you to tell me I'm not. And you're, you know, and that's just Jim Harbaugh. He'll intimidate you into giving him the job. Because at the end of the conversation, you'll be like, this guy knows everything. You're right. He can turn it on. And so I think that that'll be something that, you know, will have to be explored by them.
And in pointing to his success this past year at Michigan, I think he can point to hiring younger assistants that were able to relate. And he's going to say, like, look, I understand. I can talk to Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins is probably going to really listen to me, and we're going to be on the same page. If I need younger assistants, though, who need to be able to, you know, relate to Justin Jefferson, that's a different story. And if he can show a willingness that he can do it, like, I do understand. If you step out of the vacuum that we're in,
right,
as people who have been watching Michigan so closely over the year and analyzing every step this guy has taken since he got here from San Francisco,
right,
like, on paper... Yeah, I can see why he'd be a really attractive candidate.
Of course.
And like a Vikings fan would be like, Jim Harbaugh, holy shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Whereas if Nick Sirianni bailed on the Eagles and the Eagles were talking about hiring Harbaugh, I'd be like, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. You know? So I think that's kind of where I come down on it. But so there will be, I think, probably some level of clarity here by the end of the week.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. I mean, he's interviewing today, so, I mean, if he comes back without an offer,
Yeah, but do they have any other follow-ups with anyone else?
That I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they have any scheduled. I mean, it could be this is the... I think the expectation is if that he goes in there and answers the questions that he needs to answer, they're going to give him an offer and he's going to take the job. And we'll know by tonight or tomorrow if he's going to do that or whatever, And then, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But if he gets an offer, he's taking the job, and that's the situation. And now you just wait and see if that happens. And that's literally where it's at. There's no other... And that's really been where it's at for weeks, to be frank.
Yes.
All of this percentage stuff... I mean, I'm not trying... I don't want... Everybody can do whatever they want, but guys, like, no. This has not been... This has been one thing all the way. One thing all the way. This has been a guy who... had his feelings hurt over that contract, and you can say whether he justified or not. There are parts, a large part of me that can say I see where he's coming from. I can see where he's coming from being mad about all that, right? But it has lingered. It is still a problem. It is still sticking in there. I absolutely 1,000% believe that. Huge factor in all of this. Anyone says it's not is just ignoring the fact that that happened, and he didn't forget it. Held it over them all year. It has been contentious. It has been not during the season, but I think from December through now has been contentious, and he has made it known that he was not happy with how he believes he was treated last year, and he's making him feel it. And look, I mean, I tweeted this the other day. People that work for him have been guessing on this since November, right? December at least, right? And so... You know, he can say all he wants about how I kept doing my job and all this. Well, you know what, man? You didn't. Because you were in two places at once. You were trying to get a job somewhere else and trying to make it look like you were doing this. That's what was happening. That's what's been going on here. And I think that, you know, there have been conversations that Michigan and Harbaugh have had, you know, throughout this process. And I don't think it's always been like a slam dunk. But I think at the end of the day, like, he's decided he wants to be in the NFL. And this is not an NFL team. Michigan's not an NFL job. You have to recruit here. You have to do things here that he doesn't want to do. You have to be involved with things that he doesn't want to be involved with. You have to grant access to yourself to people that he doesn't want to do. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do any of the other stuff. He doesn't want to... And I don't blame him, I think. I think that there are life changes happening here. I think it's hard on the family. This college stuff, mm-hmm. this college, you know, the intensity of it, everything else. I think that is absolutely a factor. And again, I wrote this or said this. Every person in the world is entitled the opportunity to explore those life changes. And look, if this isn't working for me anymore on a personal level, and it's not maybe good for me and my whole like life's whatever, then I need to change. And I think that that is part, a big part, really, of what's going on here. And it's hard to explain that to people because they will never see football coaches as anything but a football coach with a logo on their hat. Never mind they have a family. So it's like, it's hard to explain all that, I guess. But at the end of the day, it's just a big aggregation of things that, you know, kind of lead toward one final answer. And it's that he doesn't want to be here. And he's taken 3 months to come to that conclusion, like, you know, more or less. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't know what else to say, you know. And that's fine, you know, I think at the end of the day, if he wants to move on, and I think that would be fine for Michigan too.
So let's play out the scenarios.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
So if this thing goes well, you know, and
the interview
goes well.
Yeah.
Okay. And they want to offer him.
Right.
Because now there's two things to discuss here.
Yes.
Okay. There is one, how this plays out at Michigan. All right, we'll put a pin in that for a second.
Okay, yeah.
Because the other one, you brought up Flores, okay?
Right,
and the
which
suit
is unprecedented.
And this giant curtain being pulled back. And
we don't even know
kind
how
of how these things work, and there's no way that more shit is not going to come.
Oh, Hugh Jackson, I mean, already accused Jimmy Haslam on Twitter of doing the same thing. So, yes.
100%. Yeah. Like, this is going to be an avalanche.
Oh, yeah, real bad.
So, if there were other interviews conducted mm-hmm. that weren't with absolute sincerity,
right.
or if it can just be proven,
right?
You know,
yeah.
What that it was, like you said, you know, checking
like
a box.
Patrick Graham yesterday would be the one. It's like if they decided on Jim Harbaugh and brought Patrick Graham in for a 9-hour interview,
right?
Right. Like, what are we doing here?
Because shit, last night Rivals already reported that this was done.
On three,
you
reported
know?
That, brother.
Get on three. Right. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to our. Our neighbors.
The recruiting sites have shifted names, and the Wolverine is now at On3, okay? Get it right.
So, On3 reported that it's done. So, if I'm Graham,
yeah,
right, and I see Harbaugh gets the job, and I point to this media report,
yes!
I'm saying, well, what the hell is going on over here?
Whether it's accurate or not.
Yes. Whether it's accurate right. or not, it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. It's just, well, throw this right into that other conversation. You know, there's no way that is not a very potential scenario.
Absolutely. I absolutely do. And again, that's why I wanted to bring it up at the top of the show here, because it's brand new and we have no idea the depths of
mm-hmm.
what this is going to go to. But I, like, we were walking out of the Senior Bowl yesterday and I said to somebody, the NFL should be like, hey, Brian Flores, here's $1 billion. Please go away forever. Here's $1 billion right now. Because I don't know... if Brian Flores can win that case, I'm not a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
right? I mm-hmm. know nothing about any of that. I don't know if all that can be, you know, if you go through the whole process, I don't know if he can win it. But if you get discovery with all this and get some of that, any of this on the record in court, the damage it will do to the league would be, we can't fathom it. The changes it would probably make in sports, not just the NFL, mm-hmm. I think would be widespread and, you know, probably for the best, of course, as we sit here and, you know, we're still hearing the shit in 2022
about,
you know, I go for an interview and the guy, and the president shows up an hour late and he's drunk or whatever. And it's like, what the, you know, so like, yes, this is pretty damning stuff when multiple people, multiple coaches out there believe they have this similar receipts. This is a class mm-hmm. action lawsuit, which was presented to bring in more people against the NFL. Yeah, I mean, if this is something that is actually where the Vikings legal counsel is like, look, if we feel like we have any culpability on this, we can't hire him. That could mm-hmm. be something that they say here. I don't know that it's not, or it would or wouldn't be, but I mean, you tell me, that all happened yesterday, it's brand new, I have no idea. So, I mean, that's something that I definitely wondered about, and it's hard to prove, but like you said, if this guy, you know, Patrick Graham, who's in there for 9 hours yesterday, sees this report at 8 o'clock while he's still in the building...
Yeah.
What is he supposed to say, right?
Yeah.
He's supposed to take your word for it? Mm-hmm. That was bullshit. Oh, okay. And you're just going to hire him tomorrow anyway? Like, so, like, I mean, I think
it's one of those looks like a duck.
Yeah,
this quacks like a duck, walks like a duck.
This story, which to me was mostly dramatic nonsense,
yeah,
got a little more interesting last night because that changes things a bit. I don't know. I guess that mm-hmm. would be up to Minnesota, you know, and the confidence they have in their process and what they believe to be true and not true, of course, right?
Right. Right.
Because I don't want to put words in their mouth, you know, in the new GM, you know, there and say that this is what they've done, because I don't know that they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
So, 100%. But that's the image that's going to be portrayed, and that's going to be something that they're going to have to bend. Well, absolutely. Jim Harbaugh, if he takes the Vikings job, that will be like the second question he gets.
100%. I mean, the optics Let's are going see how to be he handles unavoidable. That. Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's definitely something I think that was percolating, you know, popping up mm-hmm. last night that was like, well, I think that might. And you saw a lot of people who were like, it's not a done deal. You know, and I'm like, okay. Save it for the jury, you know, or whatever, where it's just like, okay, guys. But, yeah, I definitely think that could be a factor. I don't know how it wouldn't be. If you're the Vikings right now, how is it not a factor? How are you not sitting there before he comes in for his interview today being like, what are we going to do about this?
100%. There's no way that that's not the primary conversation at 7:30 a.m.
4 a.m. when all of them woke up in a dead cold sweat. Yeah, right.
In that stealth bomber of a stadium that they have, that crazy looking thing. Yes.
At 4 a.m. when they all woke up in a dead cold sweat for one more day of this hell that is coaching search. Yeah.
They had two things to think about. The fact that this coach, and a complicated coaching search already got that much more complicated, mm-hmm. and the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl in their building. So
also a problem.
Those two things had to just be very pressing. All right. So let's take a pin out of Michigan. Okay. So if this unfolds, right, later today, whether it's tomorrow, whatever, boom, it drops, Harbaugh gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Ward Manuel has obviously been thinking about this for weeks. So I would think that there is, the plan is, it's just a matter of being put into action, whatever the plan is, right? And we don't know what that is. We don't know if that is
internal. I think we do have an idea of what that could look like. I think that if Jim Harbaugh is gone today or tomorrow, mm-hmm. Josh Gattis and Mike Hart are going to get a look at the head coaching job. I firmly believe that. Outside, I don't know how much. That's where Ward can get a little trickier to, you know, pick on because that I can't, you know, I've heard names of coaches who want this job, but I don't know, you know, coaches who are putting themselves, you know, or are trying to finagle their way into the front of the line here. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I think somebody wrote the Bill O'Brien thing a while ago. I don't, you know, that's not something I've ever seen as realistic, but I think he would like it, right? Like, I think there are going to be people like that. Like Matt Rhule, maybe. I don't know that wouldn't be a possibility. Or someone that would want it. But what Ward wants to do and what other people want to do is going to be a very different thing. I would just start with those internal guys are going to get a look, and it is going to be I do not think Jim Harbaugh, if he goes to the Vikings, let me say this. If he goes to the Vikings, I don't think he's going to raid the staff. I don't think they're going to. Okay. I think if one of the, if the Michigan promotes a staffer from within, they will be able to keep the core of the staff together.
Right.
Not all of them. I think you might lose one or two, but at the core of the staff, Bellamy, Hart, the guy, Sharon, Moore, those guys, mm-hmm. I think they mm-hmm. would stay. Gattis. And, you know, I think that really, when you look at it, Jim's best quality here, I think, consistently throughout was hiring good coaches. Mm-hmm. And even when he would run some off that, you know, because they would get burned out or whatever, he would usually almost always replace them with good coaches, and they have a good staff here, you know, like they just lost Mike McDonald to the Ravens, but like he put a good staff together. And I think that it's very possible that Michigan looks to do something to keep the core of this group together. I don't know how that will look. I don't know if that is with a head coach, one of them as the head coach, or maybe someone else, you know, I don't know. Someone from the outside comes in as the head, I don't know. But I would also expect, you know, if that were the case, if they were to go with the internal stuff, that I would also expect them to look outside to try to bring in some more veteran voices, you know, Michigan-centric voices. I'll put I mean, I would call Tyrone Wheatley. I would have called him yesterday if I were them, frankly. I would have called him a couple weeks ago if it were me. But like guys and guys like that can come support younger coaches and can come help them. And I think that there's, you know, you see what Notre Dame did with Marcus Freeman. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for if you really like a guy and you don't know if he's ready yet. You know, we were talking about this last night with Aaron Glenn, right? Like with the Lions. So it's a complete, and forgive me for the tangent, I guess, but like he's going to go interview with the Saints today and they don't know if he's ready yet. He's only been a coordinator 1 year in the NFL. The team sucked, right? I mean, at the end of the day, they were better. The players loved him, everything else. All that was real. But we just don't know full body of evidence what this guy can do. However, they know him and they know he's a fit and they know guys love him and they know that he would be, you know, exactly what they're looking for type of thing. So it comes down to, do you want to take a chance on a guy that you know and love but aren't sure about? Or do you want to take a chance on a guy that you don't know and don't know if you love and still aren't sure about? So I think there is something to be said for the, I know this guy, I love this guy, I think that we can help him, you know, fill in the gaps that he needs to be filled in and wrap our arms around him. Let's just hire him. Let's not wait and make him go somewhere else and hope this thing rounds its way back into orbit in 5 years, right? Like, I think there's a case to be made. You could go back even with Harbaugh. Harbaugh wanted, he had interest at Michigan and jobs when he was a very young coach, and he didn't get it. And I think you could make the case back then that they should have just hired him. If you think that this is a guy that's going to be great, and I think a lot of people back then did, they knew Jim was going to be a good coach. It was just, he didn't, you know, it was, he had to learn how to use a computer, type, all these things, right? Like, but they knew he was going to get there. It was just, do you want to, maybe you make the argument, you take a chance on him and you let him kind of come up and build with you. And I think that while this is a much bigger situation being at a head coach, you know, the collaborative effort that was put forth last year here was very noted by everyone. They loved the staff here. I mean, everybody did. And I think that that will be a major priority here to try to keep these guys that are here, that these kids really, really like a lot. And they're all good recruiters too, you know. So I think that'll be a big part of this. And look, if Jim doesn't get an offer and he's back, that's the other question, I guess, right? Or if Jim doesn't get an offer, then what? That's the question that I have no
answer.
Well,
that's the second. Okay. That's the second. Well, we'll get there. Okay. We'll jump ahead. That's the spice. That's the good stuff there. but okay.
Yeah.
So if he's looking at candidates, and like when you say a name like Bill O'Brien to me, it's almost like the way I kind of described how someone in Minnesota would look at Harbaugh, right? You're like on paper, like, shit, makes a ton of sense. You know what I mean? When I look at what Bill O'Brien did at Penn State and, you know, he's got NFL credentials, but, you know, I'm just like, is that really what you want Michigan football to look like?
He's also a little crazy, just like the guy that you're leaving.
He's kind of insane. You
know, I mean,
and there, if you want to talk about making, you know, progress, and look, we've already talked about race. On this thing, and it's unavoidable, and you know, it's kind of like, let's like having an adult conversation about it. Michigan's never had a black head football coach.
I don't believe they've ever interviewed one.
So, you know,
I don't believe they've ever. This will be the most diverse interview for a football coaching position in Michigan ever, I would say, without hesitation.
And I think it goes without question that when Ward looks at his, you know, what will be his legacy as Michigan athletic director,
yes,
racial progress is high on that list. And he has, and it goes from everything and what he has fought for within the NCAA ranks about instant eligibility. And because he would often cite, you know, these are black and white rules.
Right.
You know, the white sports, they have instant eligibility, the black sports, they don't.
Right.
And he has pounded
that forever.
Yeah. And it has been things that were on his agenda. And, you know, we talked way back in the day when the Big Ten didn't have any black basketball coaches for a moment there. And we had conversations about that. And like, I do think the idea of a young, different looking Michigan man in air quotes, like is a attractive scenario. I think
it absolutely is. And it was, I mean, now that we're here talking about it, because it was absolutely something that they had to fix coming out of COVID. Their recruiting department needed to have more people in it that looked different and looked like the people they were recruiting. They needed to have people that these families could talk to about things that other white people didn't understand. And that's something that this program struggled with under Jim Harbaugh. They fixed it, but it wasn't something that just did. That was a thing. I don't think it was malicious or ever done by. It was just something that was oversight. It was just something that wasn't really, you know, and you saw the changes this year. Mm-hmm. Everyone did. The kids loved. They went from hating the place to adoring it overnight.
Right.
And so I think that absolutely, yes, whatever his legacy at the end of the day, if Jim leaves, of course, and Ward has to hire a new football coach, his legacy at Michigan and his job at Michigan will be tied to this football coach. If the next football coach sucks and has to get fired, they're not going to let Ward hire the next one. I mean, Ward knows that. I think everybody 100%. Knows that.
Yes.
So yes. There's that as well. But I think to your point, the greater point, he's going to hire the best person, but it's going to be, yes, it's going. And I think that it would be foolish for us to suggest that the best person for this job is probably not a minority candidate. So, I mean, there's so many of them that they could look at right now that would have, you know, so yes, I think that it will be, I don't know where they'll land on it, but I mean, like in terms of diversity within a search, I would expect this to be the most diverse they've ever had. And I think, yeah, when all said and done for Ward here, I think that, you know, it's not perfect. Nothing's perfect. And he's had mistakes in this, including the Harbaugh thing, like, you know, anybody else has. But I think you nailed it in that end of day, I think Ward Manuel's, the only legacy he'll ever care about is how much work he got done on that list of things he needed to, you know, like you're just saying, things on his agenda that if I'm the athletic director at Michigan, I can make actual change within the NCAA. How much progress did I make on that in my time in power, you know, in an influential role?
Correct.
And I think that will be his driving sort of North Star. I think it's been his North Star since he got here. Michigan first, that second, right? And I think that's that will maintain itself here.
So, and then there's other scenarios that can play out, kind of the wild card scenarios where the job comes open and someone reaches out to you and you say, oh shit.
Oh, right, yeah, right.
You know, like, which can always, Matt Campbell's agent is like, hey, we thought this was going to be the cycle. It didn't work out. We're ready to roll.
Or anybody. You know, yeah, who knows, right?
You like, know, yeah, I don't someone know. Like that, like something where you're like, oh, okay, well, I hadn't thought about that. We have to listen. We have to go down this road. Yep. And then who knows where that road.
And I think that's what
you.
They don't know yet. You know, that's what, exactly. That's the thing about Michigan where people don't, you know, it's a different coaching search. The way like Notre Dame search was a great, it just happened. And so it's a great example in that Notre Dame ran that search. The coaches didn't run that search for them. They decided who the coach was going to be. You want to call us if you're interested? Cool. We'll let you know. But we're making up our mind. You're not bullying us into making a hire. We're not doing this. Yeah. Where we have the fans, you know, demand we call this guy bullshit. They acted. They were swift. They had to, because they knew Brian Kelly was leaving too. And they, you know, they had a plan in place and they acted on it. If Jim Harbaugh leaves, I would expect this to be wrapped up very. I don't think this is going to be
me neither.
A long thing me before neither. We find out who Michigan's next coach is.
If it were you, do you kick the tires on Luke Fickell?
I don't know. I mean, I would kick the tires on Luke Fickell the same way I would kick the tires on anyone else in his sort of, you know, echelon of coaches. I still have questions about Luke Fickell. I like him. I like what he's done. I liked this year's Cincinnati team a lot. Mm-hmm. I think everybody did, of course. They made the playoff, but I mean, like, it was a very good football team, and I think we saw that. I saw some of the guys down here at the Senior Bowl too. Some of their corners are outstanding. Really good coach. I think he's got that Ohio State thing going, and I don't think he would ever take the job. I don't. And I don't know if he's a good enough coach, that good a coach to where you have to, like, my fear with that would be if you call Luke Fickell and he doesn't want it, he's going to immediately tell everyone, I turned on Michigan. They offered me this. I said, go fuck yourself. Go Bucks. And you can't, I'm sorry, you can't have that happen. So I would not call Luke Fickell.
That's a great point.
Because he's not a good, I don't think, I like him. I think he's a good coach. Uh-huh. I would make him call me because he's not a good enough coach yet for me to risk that, I don't think. I would not.
Great point.
I would not go down that road. Because Michigan State got, it ended up being okay because they got Mel like 10 minutes later. But Fickell did that shit with them. No, I'm good. Fuck you, your job sucks. This is better. What? And then, you know, the next day, Mel left Colorado and everything was fine. But, like, yeah, I saw that. Campbell could do the same thing. And I would be leery about that, too. How many job offers? We know of every single job offer Matt Campbell's ever gotten to the penny of the contract. How do we know that? Right? Like, so
yeah,
those are things I would definitely, I think Ward.
I only ask because those are names you have to kick around. Like, those are names that fans are going to ask about. So it's things you have to at least bring up for topic of discussion. That said, I think there's a 1% chance Ward Manuel hires from outside the family, especially on this hire.
In this moment and situation, it really does feel
this
like
this moment, this situation. Yeah. From what I've my understanding
they need,
of how
well,
the
yeah.
alumni yeah. structure of Michigan football is right now. Yeah. Like, I think
that's a good.
I think you want someone who is.
Here's what I'll say. Yes, I know
very much a unifier that everyone's on board with, and it's going to be, you know, go blue across the board, and everyone's going to be fat and happy, and they're going to have a big press conference that feels like a family reunion, similar to when Jim Harbaugh got the job.
It's going to be the exact same thing. That's what they're going to do, and I, you know, it would surprise me for that exact reason if they went outside because of that, because I think the entire alumni family, with maybe a couple exceptions that I'm not aware of, but I think the entire alumni family, the basic core of it that matters, is ready to move the fuck on and start over. Okay? Right. They're ready to embrace someone who wants to be here. They're ready to embrace someone who's going to put the school before themselves, and they're ready to do something different. And I don't think a lot of that is going to be ill will for Jim if he doesn't shoot back at them. I think they're not going to shoot at him. He wants to move on, that's cool. And I think that that's all something everyone understands. But I mean, like, to go through this, I don't think this last 3 month situation here has done him any favors with the family. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think the football family is ready to wrap its arms around someone else. You know what I'm saying? Like you just said. Now, that does nothing for you after the press conference. But, like, you know, that's what the press conference is going to look like. And I think that for those reasons, Michigan does need a moment like that, though, right? I think that that's to be said. I would be very surprised if Jim Harbaugh left Michigan and said anything bad about Michigan. I would be surprised at that.
Agree.
I would actually think he would leave Michigan and say, I love the place, and I don't know how he would address it or whatever, but it was time. I have to, you know, I wish them nothing but the best and blah, 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 and all that sort of stuff. But all that aside, when the new person comes in, it's going to be somebody who wants to be here. It's going to be somebody who puts the place first, just like he did when he got here. And everyone will wrap their arms around the guy. And I mean, it'll be the same thing as it was, I think, to a degree with it, less so with Hoke, I guess, because people wanted Harbaugh and not Hoke when he did it. But like, I think it would be similar. And for that reason, I would be a little surprised if they went outside, because you have a lot of alums in coaching, you know, that are good coaches.
Good coach.
That I think that if you made the right pitch to them, hey man, come here and help us. Come here and help us the way that, you know, Jim tried and he got us to a certain point and then he couldn't do it anymore. So he's passing the keys on to somebody else. Come here and help us.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you say. Yeah.
You've got a number of really strong, intriguing internal candidates. Mm-hmm. Internal being within the family tree, right? Mm-hmm. And within that group, you got to find the best CEO.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's how I look at it.
I think so, because I think you're at a very sensitive point still, and football is changing a lot right now, and it's the head coach in any scenario needs more support, I think, now than ever before. And, you know, Michigan's certainly prepared to give that, I think, but it's like, I think that is also something that making sure you bring people in here that are here for him, are here for the place, and want him to succeed and want to work with him and all those things. And I think that, you know, ultimately is what they're going to try to do, is try to make some sort of collaborative, like you said, the best CEO. You know, they're at an intersection time here, changing again. You have to look to the people you trust, I would think, in those moments. Yep. And that just happens to be people that you know. And I think that, you, like you said, I mean, there's so many guys who have played football here, coached football here, won championships here, that are in coaching still, that have great ideas and great minds. It does not have to be one person or bust here. It does not have to be the University of Jim Harbaugh. It does not have to be the University of Urban Meyer. It doesn't have to be the University of Nick Saban. Right. Like, it just doesn't, you know? And I think that we've learned that, too, over the years. And I know, you know, guys like Nezzy, our buddy, will tell you that, like, there are no good programs and there are only good coaches. And I agree with Nezzy, but I think that I would evolve his statement there into saying that there are only good staffs. There are only good staffs, you know. It's like your head coach, yes, has to be great. The CEO's part has to, but he has to have a good, a really good staff, or it's just not going to work. It's so collaborative now. You have to be, everybody really does have to be on the same page at all times, and that is very hard to do.
And that goes from administrative level to whoever's overseeing because, the NIL that's the, stuff, that's the to current, whoever's overlooking
the current generation
candidates, to your eligibility people, to this, to this, to this. Like, it's just so big. It's just that's really its own
and I think the,
company
yeah,
within a university system.
And look, the current generation of players can sense when the boat isn't being rowed in the same direction. They can. Mm-hmm. It's not just NFL, but people talk about that in the NFL all the time. Like, guys can tell if the owner, if the front office and the coaching staff aren't on the same page. Right. You think the college players are any different? Like, it's absolutely the same. Like, they can tell, and they get mad about it, and they express their thoughts about it in ways that no one would have ever dreamed 10 or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And if you can't handle that, you can't be a coach. You can't, especially in college. Right. And I think that's also something that Jim Harbaugh is learning. Like, it cannot be your way or the highway anymore, right? Like, things have to evolve. And I think that he is going to learn, if he goes to the NFL, that he's going to have to evolve one way or the other, because all of football is changing fast. And, you know, maybe, like you said, maybe this year was proof for him that he is evolving, and maybe he can convince the Vikings of that. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no more, there's no monarchy with absolutism anymore.
Can't
so,
be. No.
Okay, other scenario.
All right.
Far more intriguing.
Jesus.
Is Jim Harbaugh goes out to Minneapolis thinking that he's about to get this job.
Shows up with a Vikings hat on, right? With the horns. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah, with the horn and everything. And is told. Yeah. And is told, Jim, thanks, but no thanks. We're going to go a different direction.
And it comes to pass that he does not get an offer. And
oh,
they hire
baby.
Another candidate.
Yeah.
And he's on a flight back to McNamara Terminal, trying to figure out which direction he goes when he gets out of there.
Is the flight going back to McNamara, or is it going somewhere else? Like, that's the question.
Exactly. Yeah, great point. You know, like, so how does this... I don't know. First of all, I do feel like Ward, and like at the administrative level, like, that there would be... I think the first step would be a level of like maturity to broaching the subject of like, okay, are we going to move forward, and are going to want some consolation.
Yeah, probably.
And some contrition, perhaps even in that, which will not happen.
Not okay. In a million years. No.
So I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man,
if this
like,
forward.
That just looks like, it looks like two trains heading on the same tracks right at each other.
And that
and
is
I don't know.
Like the grandest question of all, because
yes.
I do not know. Because, you know, I think he might be done here. I mean, I don't know how, he's made it clear that he wants to be in the NFL. He's told recruits, I will listen to their offers, right? If they offer me and all this. And he's been honest with people about that. Has he been upfront with his bosses as much as he can be and clear with them? No, he hasn't been. And it's been a problem. But he has told others and in his way of telling them and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I don't know how you come back here. I don't. You know, you made it pretty clear that you wanted to go somewhere else and this was your safety school. That you were kind of just riding the wave of the NFL coaching carousel, waiting for something to pop open, floating your name out there. Because that's... Mm-hmm. All the Vegas stuff, none of that came from Vegas. None of that came from Michigan. You guess where that came from. Okay? They did not hire him. They did not interview him. As far as I know, he wasn't even a conversation on the docket. I have no idea, right? Like, but...
Yeah.
So, he has been putting himself in conversations for jobs since December. Since December. And I said, we had a podcast back then. This can never happen again. And so, here we are in February... I think it's over. I don't think he can come back. I could be wrong because it's Jim Harbaugh and who knows, but I mean that would be a hell of an explanation, man. I'd love to hear it. Like of how it all gets sorted out. But I mean if he doesn't want to be here, what the hell are you doing? You know? And
but what about the idea of
But I can't see him not coaching either. I can't see him sitting a year out. I don't know what he would do. Like I cannot
So if he comes back.
Yeah.
If he comes back. He's under contract, right?
They'd have to fire him. Yeah.
They'd have to fire him for cause. or without cause.
No, you can fire a coach for whatever reason you want to fire a coach.
I don't know.
I mean, with a full buyout? Yeah, probably.
The buyout's what I'm
nothing.
Curious
about. The
buyout's
like $2 million or whatever.
Oh, okay.
It's like nothing.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good for Michigan, I suppose.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that would all look like.
But, like, if he comes back and is ready to be the head coach again, now that's, like, this is the season finale scene of what happens when these people get in the room at the same time of, okay, well, I'm still the head coach here, right? And then someone's going to have to say yes or no.
Or yes.
You know?
I mean,
because there is also the flip side of it is that he did just
win the Big Ten.
And he won 10 games, and the program is
I really don't know.
If you look at it, it's going in the right direction. So you're going to have to fire the guy who just won the Big Ten. I don't know if that, like, I'm 50-50 on how that plays out.
I don't know if he would either. But I mean, I just feel like it's done. I just don't feel like. I don't know how you explain this. Mm-hmm. I just don't. Because he's not gonna, Brendan. He's not going to.
Yeah.
He won't. He will not. I said this on Twitter yesterday. Someone was like, what would your guess be about how he would handle it? My guess would be that he would walk in and be like, can I sign the extension? And I'll never talk about it again. And I'll act like this didn't happen. But it did happen. And it's like, we're going to do this again next year? Because you will. Mm-hmm. And you'll do it again the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that. And frankly, folks, you've done it every year since he's been here. Every year since he's been here. Whether it was his fault or not, you have. They cannot sustain and keep momentum in this chaos. His program operates in chaos. You can't sustain momentum in college football in a chaotic environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You can't. So this chaotic stuff has to stop. It's February and you don't know who your coach is. It's not the first time that it's been February and they haven't had a full staff as spring ball is bearing down on them as he has taken forever to fill staff. Like, you just can't do it anymore. The chaos stuff in college football, it kills momentum. It leads to transfers. It leads to exits. It leads to all this stuff. It doesn't work. His system of doing things, the chaos, the I'll let you know when practice starts 5 minutes before it starts, all that stuff, the military stuff, no, done. You have to find a different way. So if he's not willing to reinvent himself, you know, like, that's another question that comes down the road where it's like, is this going to be able to sustain itself? Or are you going to just go in here and fire every coach that we have because you don't get along with him one day? Because you know that's how these things always end. Like, they can't, you know, these coaches work with him until they can't anymore. And then they leave. And then he hires another good one. But I mean, it's, you know, it's hard on momentum. There's too much change. We had a quote in that story that we wrote in August about, you know, all the stuff Jim did with the staff this year from a coordinator, like a Big Ten coordinator that wasn't at Michigan, saying like the amount of staff turnover that they have had is just any other place would have been like cratered. Right. You know, like no one else could sustain even a quarter of the staff turnover they've had. It's insanity. And sometimes it's for reasons, no reason other than they just don't get along and they can't work together anymore. And it's like, 7 years of that's a long time. So I really don't know. I really don't. And I almost wonder if Jim would be like, I'd like out of the deal. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't know if that wouldn't be on the table. And again, and I say this because I don't know what's in his head. I've always had my own, you know, belief that he's going to coach football until he drops dead and he could never sustain a year where he wasn't coaching. And I've always thought he'll just be a head coach forever until someone tells him he can't be. But I mean, would he go just hang out with his brother for a year and coach in Baltimore? He might. But is he ever going to get another head coaching job again? You know?
Well, the thing is that, the retread candidates is always.
Yeah, I guess so.
Some people who get jobs is just insane constantly. Yeah,
maybe not after the Flores lawsuit, but.
Well, yes, exactly. But yes, I think he could get a job. But I mean, I could certainly see him going and hanging around Baltimore TV, just being Jim Harbaugh.
I think I could see him doing that more today than I ever have before. Because I think that, like I said earlier, you know, there are life changes, I think, going on here. Family changes for him. Personal, right? That are important for him and his family. And I think he's trying to put those. Football is first. It is him and football and his football career is first and foremost in everything he does, right? It's number one.
Sure.
But his family impact, I think he's trying to put higher on his priority list. And I think the college environment is a big strain on that. And I think he's trying to do something different. So I could definitely see, I could at least put myself into the position to entertain the possibility that maybe he would do a year of exploration like that. Like you're saying, like go hang out with John in Baltimore and be whatever, or go take a, or whatever, or just go take a random job somewhere. I don't know, you know, or like you said, just bounce around and be Jim Harbaugh.
He could do TV for a year. He could do TV.
Do whatever. I mean, he could probably do whatever he wanted, really. I mean, it, but
right.
I don't know if I don't know if I would totally eliminate that. I probably, though, that feels like a 1% chance that he would do that. Mm-hmm. I just can't see him being able to survive a year mentally without coaching. I just don't think he could do it. It's like error, I think, for him, you know, like
right.
It's not, you know, that's why, you know, people were flacking in the spirit of the quote that he gave about, I'd do this job for free. The job being teaching football.
Yes.
In a school somewhere, I believe him. And like, that's his life. And I think that I'm probably more open to entertaining the idea that maybe he would, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's going to be coaching somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But my guess at the end of this is he's going to be in Minnesota and Michigan will be moving on. But, you know, I don't think he's back. I wrote the other day, it'd be one for the books in and of itself. And it would be, mm-hmm. you know, nobody else in football is like this, so it would stand to reason that he's the only one that ever does it. But I just feel like it's time, you know. I just feel like it's time for everybody to move on. I really do.
And if it doesn't happen this year, or if he does come back, we'll just do all this all over again. We can just rerun these podcasts, change the team names.
We did it last year. We did it last year. And we're doing it again. And yeah, we'll do it again the next. And it's just like, yeah, how many more times? How many more times does this have to go on? And he's not going to change his methods and how he operates with his business and all that sort of thing. And that's his right to do. But it's not good for business here either. And, you know, that's something that's also fair to say.
I'll be really curious, you know, if it goes down one way or another, whether it's the Vikings or whether he just walks, whatever. If this is the end, I'll be really curious to see how his kind of overall tenure is framed in terms of him coming in as like the ultimate Michigan man, and it's school first, it's I'm coming home is bigger than whatever, and right. all that,
yeah, that was
stuff.
All bullshit.
All that stuff versus the reality of how this kind of played out, that it was always kind of, it did always seem like Michigan was a vehicle for Jim Harbaugh to use.
That's correct.
Not the other way around.
Yep. I think that's what happened here.
And, you know, this, like the hagiography that kind of came with this guy who's coming to save the place versus at the end of the day, it's just a guy who, like so many others, it was a job. It wasn't bigger than anything. It was a job.
It was a job, and it was a job that recruited him harder than anybody else. They tripped. Mm-hmm. That coaching search took 28 days. He was the center of attention in the NFL and football world for 3.5 weeks. He loved every second of it, and he was wooed all the way here, and he loved it. And the minute the wooing stopped, the minute anyone questioned anything he was doing, fans otherwise, is when that was the beginning of the end here. You can't question, you know, and it's just, he loves to be loved. He loves to be recruited, as we're seeing again. And he gets this thing in his head that if you're questioning him at all on anything, then you're not supporting him.
Right.
And it's like, it's black and white in his mind. And it's like, that's just not reality. So, you know, that's something that I just don't think you should have to deal with if you don't want to deal with it anymore. And I think Michigan doesn't want to deal with it anymore. So, like, I think that, like you said earlier, though, if he is back, I think he would also probably even know that, hey, if I'm back, that's going to mean that Ward and I are going to have a really long, really hard conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and I wouldn't rule it out just because those two guys are pretty unique. And I think that if there were any two people that would be willing to step into a room and have a 14-hour like fist fight like that, it would be those two. But I just don't know if they have the energy to do it. You know, I just don't. And I think that's where this is. This is exhausted people, man. Like, this is to the likes of which I don't know if I've ever seen. I mean, people are completely and totally like, we are so done with this. Just make up right. your mind. Like, what are you doing? Stop holding, you know, like, and I think that at the end, you know, that's just not good for anybody. So I think that's rising up to the top here, you know.
The way that the people connected to that program and to the school to be made to feel like you're second fiddle yeah. and you're a backup plan, I don't know how you come back from
that. A guy that played then here? Yeah. From a guy that played here? It's hard. Right.
From somebody who's supposed to be one of you.
Who's right. somebody who's supposed to be one of you. It was, you know, I need to find guys who will fight like hell for Michigan. What are you doing right now? I mean, you know, and it's like, and he'd counter with, I fought like hell every day for 7 years. What'd you, you know, and it's like, you did. But mm-hmm. like this type of stuff is not okay. It's just not okay. The anxiety that he causes, the constant, like, no one knows what the hell is going on at all times. The off seasons here are miserable. Absolutely miserable for everyone who works there. Yeah. They will all tell you that in a quiet moment. But at the end of the day, they do like working for the guy because when it's time to turn it on and go play football and they can really mm-hmm. zone it in, he's one of the best in the world.
Right.
Still.
Right.
You just got to get to September 1st with him. But uh-huh. September 1st through December 1st are awesome. Every other day for the rest of the year is hell. That's what it's like. And I think that people here are just like ready for that not to be a thing anymore, you know? And I don't blame them for that either, you know? And it's, but whatever. I think there are also people here that are like, I'll put up with it a couple more years if you want to. You know, like, I'll keep doing it. Because
the thing is the alternative. The thing is the alternative that the names that we were talking about right. as the likeliest candidates would all be first-time head coaches
yeah.
that you're handing the keys to.
Exactly.
Total, to this massive enterprise where you're like, look, Harbaugh most likely keeps you competitive at this point, right? I mean, there's going to be some semblance of being a team that can possibly contend in the Big yep. Ten, whatever, and it's a known commodity versus.
I mean, it is, but he was 2-4 2 years ago, and he was 8-5 the year before.
Look, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying there's the known commodity yeah. versus we're gonna just hope that this works out. You know, where it's like, well, in 3 years it could be a total disaster. You know,
sure.
because you know, first time head coaches at this level is a major risk.
You don't get to pick your situation in life, I don't think, always. And and I think that that's just... And I think
that should be your Twitter bio.
It's a major risk. Yeah, that should be my Twitter bio. It's a major risk if you hire a guy like that, if you hire Gattis or Mike Hart. Absolutely a major risk. I would even say, not with a guy like Wheatley, because, you know, he's run his own program there at Morgan State. I think he'd be sure. less so guys like that. I think you could find guys like that would be less so, but it would still be a little bit more of a risk because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And if you've never been a head coach at but I would counter with this, okay? Brady Hoke coached Ball State for 12 years or something like that. 10 sure. years by himself. He was the head coach. He was in no way prepared for this job. Mm-hmm. He was completely over his head the day he walked in the door. That job did not prepare him to be the head coach at Michigan. He could not handle it. It was too bright for him and he couldn't do it. Right?
Right.
So I counter with, the resume doesn't always tell the story.
Totally fair.
And I think today's game, you know, the way it's changing, if you're going to take a chance, you do it right now. Like, I think that that's, right. I think I'm on board with that. When Notre Dame did what Notre Dame did, I thought, I looked at it and I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. Like, that's going to be a really mm-hmm. big risk. But oh my God, if it works.
Yes.
Oh my God, if it works.
Right.
Buddy.
It's the Juwan scenario, you know? I mean,
everybody never been likes a head coach. He's Marcus Freeman, right? Everybody likes this guy, right?
Right.
Great guy. Everybody loves him. Kids love him. What's the worst thing that could happen? It works.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's how I kind of look at it. And if you've got a candidate like that and you're questioning a little bit about his experience, but you love him, just hire him. And just mm-hmm. and surround him with good people. And see what happens and ignore all the bullshit and go from there. You don't have to listen to it if you don't want to. And I think that
right.
that might be what we see in the end
right.
here. We'll see.
They need to just move. They need to turn the page.
They need
way
to be done, bro. Because when I get back from the Senior Bowl, I'm not working for like a week. So I gotta tell you, when I get back from Snowmageddon after I shovel my driveway off, I'm sure. I need a break, man. This is like, this has been too much.
But you know, like every other program in the country right now, everyone's working the portal. They're doing their thing, blah blah blah. And then Michigan is just sitting there in.
Yeah, he's in, today is
signing
day.
Suspended animation.
Today is signing day. He's interviewing on signing day. Come on. And, you know, and it's a testament, again, to the staff. Because all of their recruits are signed, sealed, and delivered. And if they keep the core of the staff here, none of them are leaving. Okay? Mm. Like, Jim told those guys, I think, in recruiting. Remember last year when we talked about all this? When they were, Ward, Jim, were going through that whole, like, are you going to fire me? Maybe not. During the week of signing day? And they kept the entire class together? Don Brown's out here recruiting, telling these kids, I'm getting fired, but you should sign here. That's what, it's a credit to Jim's staff. I think their recruiting situation is far more stable than people probably realize, as long as they keep the foundation of the people that are here. And I think it would be contingent upon any, if it were an external head coach, I think that would be, you're going to have to keep some of these people. Like some of the recruiting staffers, some of the people that we like, the, you know, some of the assistants, you have to. They're here. Sorry. Like, you know, that's just what we're going to do. So I do think that that would be high on the list, because I think that as weird as it is that they're in suspended animation, this is the only place that could maybe pull that off, because he's hired a staff that knows how to work and control and basically run the program without him, like more or less, because that's what's been going on. We were talking to Aaron Glenn last night about, is it hard to interview for a job when you're already, you have to do evaluations here, you're a DC here. And he said, I am never in two places at once. I know my job. It is the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. When I go interview for the Saints, that's when I will focus my time interviewing for the Saints. That is not what Jim Harbaugh has done over the last 3 months. Whether he wants to claim so or not is bullshit. So I think that it's a testament to the staff, testament to him too, that he put the staff together. And like, I do think that if you keep some of these guys here, you can kind of keep your core together and you won't get ravaged, you know, the way that people would probably assume that you would by losing a head coach. I think you might be surprised at the end. I could be wrong, but I think you could be surprised at the end, depending on who they bring in, about the lack of exits, you know, because I don't think it would be a exodus of mass proportion here. I think Jim would tell the guys to stay. I think he would tell them all, because I also think Jim will talk to the guys. I'd be surprised if he didn't. I'd be surprised if Jim didn't talk to the guys in a room, face-to-face, meeting, you know, kind of thing, and tell them, I'm leaving. And because all the things that I criticize him for, and I think they're fair, most of them, including the fact that I don't think he puts his employer anywhere near the top of the list in terms of priorities where it should be, but I do think he puts his players and his team right up there with him. At the, you know, the number one thing in his world is his football life. And attached to that is everyone who plays for him in that moment. That's why he's so different and unique, and he's so hard to explain to people, because like he doesn't have a lot of those like long-standing, you know, sustained relationships, I don't think, with people. But that, like, when they're in the moment on a team, like for him, that is like so sacred and something that is like, he loves it. Like, and so I think he'll address those kids and tell them, like, I think you should stay here. And I think you should, you know, I think you should continue to do the things we talked about when you came in. I think that's how he would leave it. I'd be surprised and probably disappointed if it was different, to be honest, because I don't think it needs to be nasty or anything else on the way out. But that's
so. So the last scenario I have, possible scenario I have to ask you about before we get out of here, is the possibly the worst case scenario.
We haven't done that yet.
Is there any chance that Minnesota kind of goes by the wayside, but then there's another job scenario that's out there, and this just goes on for another?
Well,
what other jobs are open? I have no idea.
I don't think that's likely. Okay, that doesn't seem likely. There's not that many left, are there? There's what's open right now. It's a good question. The Jaguars still haven't filled this one. The Dolphins, which doesn't. I don't think that's happening. But like, you know, I think that at that point, it would be incumbent upon Michigan to make a decision. What do you want to do? It's February 2nd. You don't know if you have a head coach, and you have to make a decision now. I think the ball would go back to Michigan's court if he comes back here without an offer.
Mm-hmm.
If it's tomorrow morning and he doesn't have an offer and they're talking about bringing in more people next week to interview.
Because I do think there's at least a sliver of a chance
sure.
that, yeah, he leaves Minnesota without an offer and acts like nothing ever happened.
Of course there's a chance
of that. And still is just pursuing other jobs.
Yes.
And everyone's still just sitting here.
Right. Nothing's changed, right, for him.
Just
right.
in the snow, waiting for the snow to melt.
Yeah, right. So I think the ball would go back to their court of like, are you going to let him just completely hold you hostage like this? Or are you going to do something right. about it? And it's the thing that I talked about less in the summer of 2020 with the contract. Are you going to let him hold you hostage on this contract until it expires? Or are you going to do something about it?
They did
something about it. He hasn't forgiven them. Oh, well. I think that at the end of the day, if we want to sit here and forget that he got that he was 0-6 to start against Ohio State, that he had the record that he had against Michigan State, that people were completely and totally miserable and done with it at the end of 2020.
Done with him.
If we want to just act like that wasn't a thing, we can do that. But it was a thing. People were so sick of this in 2019 and 2020. So sick of it. And, you know, now they're not, right? And it's just like, who's to say it doesn't just flip right back to that? I think it's time to move on. I do. But maybe he's back, but it just doesn't seem like it to me, man. I mean,
that's fair.
And I wouldn't rule it out because he's Jim Harbaugh. That's the only thing. He's the only person I could see pulling that off. I mean, he really is. It would be one for the books, but I wouldn't rule it out because he's weird.
Can't rule anything out. Can't rule anything out.
The contrition part either. I don't know. Probably not, though. Well, probably not.
Well, this was a hell of a conversation. This was a very interesting. I imagine if the dominoes fall in order and things happen here in a timely manner, we'll probably be doing another one of these. I think that would coincide with any major news, right? As opposed to just waiting until next week, right? If some crazy shit goes down.
Yeah, if he leaves.
I imagine we will fire up the podcast machine.
Barring weather.
barring weather.
Barring weather, because I think I have to travel on Friday and you're traveling possibly as well. So we will definitely get back to you at sooner than later if it all, if he leaves.
Yeah.
And, I also don't, again, I don't think this is going to be a 2-month coaching search. I think it'll be pretty quick.
I would think so.
I think you have to make it pretty quick. Like, I would, if he leaves tomorrow, today or tomorrow, I think they're going to have a head coach by this time next week. So, you know.
I could see that. Yeah.
So,
yeah. So if it happens, you know, we will certainly come back, I think, as close to in real time as we can to break down the news. And then, you know, if the job is open, dig into the candidates that we've already
And if he's back, we'll dig into that too.
Oh, hell yeah. A lot to unpack there. So, interesting times. Yeah. Interesting times. We appreciate everyone listening. If you enjoyed this fascinating conversation, please leave us a review in the iTunes store. Make sure you are subscribed to The Athletic. Stay safe on the roads. And be sure to tip your bartenders and servers.